Chapter 33. Pain flooded through June. Every instinct screamed at her to flee, escape to that quiet place in her mind that she'd carved out as a safe haven when she was little. No, this was too big. She had to stay alert. She couldn't let Seth down, let anything happen to their daughter just because she was too cowardly to face reality. The sound of a car driving up to the house sent the men scrambling into defensive positions at the windows and door. June ignored them, pacing a route that took her from the living room, into the kitchen, around the table, back out, and down the hall, then back again to the fireplace. She tried to count the steps, but pain kept interrupting her. Megan matched her step by step, giving her a hand to squeeze when a contraction hit, coaxing her to breathe. June wished it were Seth, felt near tears at the thought of doing this alone, without him. Not just the labor. What came after? What would she do if he didn't come back to her? How could she ever do this alone? She had no idea what a mother was supposed to do, no idea what normal was. Another contraction ripped through her, this one stronger than the last. She buckled with the pain. Megan held her up. It's okay, June. The ambulance is here. The door opened, and two paramedics entered. The men gathered and talked as she and Megan continued their pacing. Then one of the medics approached her. Are you okay to walk to the ambulance, ma'am? If so, we'll get you strapped in and do our assessment on the way to the hospital. Don't want to keep this baby waiting, do we? He took one elbow and Megan the other. As they walked past the coat rack, Megan grabbed June's coat and purse. They continued outside. The wind had died down, although the rain was still steady. The other medic had stowed their gear and waited at the open door to the rear of the ambulance. Together, they helped June climb inside and onto their stretcher. Megan jumped in to tuck June's coat and purse between her and the wall of the medical supplies carefully stored in glass cabinets. The first medic, the driver, left again. June heard his voice and the other men beyond the back doors of the ambulance. She had the feeling Oshiro had been asking to ride along with her, and the medic was arguing with him. Come on, Megan, Nick called from where he stood outside in the rain. They need to go now. Megan nodded and gave June a quick hug.
I'll see you at the hospital. Everything will be fine. I just know it.
June glanced up from the gurney and waved goodbye as the paramedic still inside with her closed the doors, blocking her view of anyone outside. First, I'm going to start an IV, just a precaution. Then we'll be on our way, and I'll get the monitors on you. With practiced motions, he quickly inserted the needle into June's left arm. She barely felt it against the cramp of another contraction. The paramedic sat back and frowned at the still empty driver's seat. The driver's door was open, but there was no sign of him. Come on, Joe. We're good to roll, he called out. An unseen man jumped into the front of the ambulance and slammed the door shut. They sped off, the vehicle rocking as they accelerated down the winding road to the main road. Hey, Leadfoot, the medic yelled. Slow it down, will ya? Instead of slowing, the driver sped up, then suddenly braked hard. June grabbed the stretcher's bars as they lurched into a hard right-hand turn. The medic, with her, was tossed off of his seat and caught himself against the cabinets. What the hell? Joe, where are you going? The hospital is down the mountain. Left, you idiot. Bracing himself with one hand against both sides of the vehicle, he moved forward to lean into the driver's compartment. There was a loud noise, and the medic staggered back, then slumped to the ground. June knew that noise. A gunshot. She twisted against the belts holding her into place to glance over her shoulder. All she could see of the medic was one hand stretched out against the floor and his face, a blackened, bloodied hole where his eye should be. It never occurred to her to scream, not even when they took another sharp turn and bumped to a stop, not even when she heard the man driving unbuckle his seatbelt and step into the rear compartment. Instead, she clutched her purse and bag to her chest as if they were the fuzzy blankets she used to hide under. The man loomed over her from behind. She looked into his face. You're not him, she said in shock. She'd been so certain it was Daddy come for her.
Who are you? He tapped the muzzle of his pistol against her belly.
He sent me for you, baby girl, but I've decided to change the plan. Behave yourself, and you and your baby both live. Give me any trouble, and...
The muzzle ground into her flesh. Please don't hurt my baby. I beg you.
He ignored her to glance out the rear window. Good. They're heading down the mountain. Never even saw that we went the wrong way. As soon as they're gone, we can backtrack out of here.
As he spoke, she slid her hand from her purse, concealed by her coat gathered over her. He turned around, pistol lowered to his side, a gleam in his eye, as if already collecting his reward.
June shot him, pulling the trigger over and over and over until the revolver was out of bullets. The sound echoed, thunder booming inside the small space long after the man's body hit the floor, leaving a trail of blood and brains on the door behind him.